This episode of Boob Sweat is brought to you by Mega Babe. If you didn't already know, I founded my personal care brand Mega Babe a few years ago to solve real problems with cute solutions. Even though I founded the brand, I am not qualified to do every single job, which is why I hire wonderful people like our customer service wizard, Britt. I've brought Britt on here to help answer a question. Hi, Britt.
Hey, Katie.
All right, Britt, go ahead.
Bonnie said she's a super sweaty girl, and she asked how we can help with sweat that's showing through her clothes.
Bonnie, have I got some answers for you. We have several different solutions, starting with our bust dust, which is a hands-free way to apply our talc-free powder into your bra. You just literally pump it in there. It was the second product that we launched with. We also have our dust puff, which helps making apply powder to your body really easy because it helps with the mess. It also puts the powder on really evenly. Our dust puff is kind of awesome. And if you're not into powder, we actually have a cool product called Magic Powder. I know it says powder in the name, but it's actually a lotion. You apply it in a thin layer and it dries with a powder finish. I put it right under my boobs and sometimes under my butt cheeks. It's awesome.
And don't forget, we also have body dust, which is the same great formula as our bust dust, but with a different applicator. So if you're not a fan of the pump, this comes with a sprinkle applicator, so you can easily apply it anywhere that you experience sweat throughout the day.
Britt, you're right. Body dust, of course, duh. Thank you so much for always knowing more than I do. And for a limited time, I'm offering Boob Sweat listeners 15% off your order at megababebeauty.com with the code BoobSweat15 at checkout. Now, on to the pod. Hi, I'm Katie Storino, and this is Boob Sweat. There are a lot of things out there that make us sweat, but don't worry, you're not alone. We are here to talk about it. Something we surprisingly have not talked about on Boob Sweat yet is periods. And joining me, as always, is former assistant, current producer, Madison Higley. Maddie, welcome.
Hi.
You're like, I've been looking at you for 2 hours. Maddie, I have a question. Why do you think we've never done an episode on periods?
I honestly have no idea, because when I forget how we even came up with this now, I'm like, why haven't we done this like season one?
I don't know.
Because it just feels like, of course we would talk about this, but I don't know. But I'm glad we're doing it now.
I have to tell you, I think it's because I just personally, I'm like, the period has just become like an annoyance that you deal with and something you don't really need or want to explore until you are going to hit menopause.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so. Because I feel like periods are very matter of fact now. It's just like, you got your period, it's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think that there's any more to talk about, but there is.
God, is there ever?
This episode has proven.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that that's just a real eye-opener, because it's like, wow, I just like took on this thing and never even thought about, I don't know, all
it's like
of it.
You get it. I got it at 12 and I'm like, all right, this is my life now.
Yeah. I got it at 9.
Yeah.
9 years old out there with a maxi pad in my backpack that fell out in the coat room, and everyone blamed Maureen, whose last name I won't say, but it was mine. And I let Maureen take the heat.
Oh, Maureen, we're sorry.
I know. I'm sorry, Maureen. But you know what? It's because of the shame.
Yeah. Like, it's not your fault that you were like, they made a scene about a pad.
No. And I love the fact that these conversations are happening, especially among Gen Z. So hopefully they can trickle down and periods can be less embarrassing.
Yeah. I hope so, too. I think so.
Yeah. And to talk more about periods, I spoke with Nadia Okamoto, who is just a very impressive human. She's the founder of the period product company August, which is a period brand that focuses on inclusivity, sustainability, and creating period products without shame. We love anything that stops shame. Nadia is also the founder of Period, an organization fighting to end period poverty and stigma. She also hosts the podcasts The Period Feels and Tigress. And Maddie, can I ask you, what type of period products do you use? That's not too personal.
Now, I'm a pad girl mostly.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just like, I don't feel like dealing with anything. So.
Sure.
I just
do
like.
What pads, pad. Do you, what brand pads
I
mean, do you use?
I do Always.
Man. Okay.
I know. I want to get into the better
yeah,
pad situation. But that's why I use pads, because I don't want to like put any plastic
yeah
in areas that they don't need to go.
I'm big into nighttime pads. And then yeah, actually I've started to, when my period like tapers after 3 days, I've started to use like a panty liner.
Yeah. Okay. I want to get into the period underwear.
Oh, and period underwear. Yes.
Like, I feel like that's something that I would really, because like I have like a heavy day and then the rest are pretty light. So I feel like I would enjoy that.
Period underwear are awesome. And you are in luck, because I just did a roundup of period underwear.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. I'll go check it out.
Yes. And now my conversation with Nadia, where we answer your questions. Nadia. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome on. I'm really excited to get into the topic of periods with you. Periods have become something that's, I don't know, more impactful in my life recently, because I think I got my IUD out like 2 years ago. And since then, I think that even though I had a non-hormonal IUD, my PMS has gotten so much worse. And I don't know why, but I would say I spend about half the month being a total bitch.
You know what? We've all been there.
And I guess I wanted to talk to you about PMS first and see, like, are we supposed to investigate having PMS that bad?
We absolutely should. And, you know, I think that different people have different period experiences, to the point that there are such things as like PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is like very extreme PMS. And I think that a large part of what we're trying to do at August, in the work that we do, is just have an open conversation about periods. So the question of, is it normal? Is it normal to bleed X number of days or bleed so much? Is it normal to have blood clots? Where we don't have so many of those questions, because we have an understanding what's happening in our bodies. And I think that one of the unfortunate results of having such a strong period stigma and patriarchal world in which we're not encouraged to talk about what's happening in our bodies is we have a lot of questions and confusion and fear about understanding what's happening in our bodies. So yes, PMS, I think that there's a lot of understanding to happen around it. And I think that it's also a double-edged sword when we talk about PMS, because it's so true. Like, I'm also like a total bitch to the people around me for like 2 days right before I get my period. And yet, like, I also think that what's really harmful is when you hear in media, pop culture, this idea of, oh, she's being crazy and bitchy, she must be on her period, right? Kind of dismissing or gaslighting our emotions as, oh, we just must be on our period, so we're not thinking straight. So yeah, there's so many nuanced parts of PMS that I think really deserves a lot of conversation.
I agree, because I also sometimes don't know. I'm like, is the world ending around me, or am I just like in this heightened state of emotional being with my period? So it is something I think I need to explore. And what was the name of that? You said PMDD?
PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
Never have heard of it before. That's crazy. Wow. Okay.
I mean, and that's a lot of, you know, I think a lot of period symptoms or conditions, right? Is because there's a lack of conversation about periods. A lot of menstruators don't even know what they could possibly be looking into, right? When they have extreme period pain, they don't know of things like endometriosis, which is a condition that, you know, over 10% of women in the U.S. have. And so that's, I think, a big part of this period education advocacy, is simply just raising awareness about the fact that there are conditions that exist that we should know about.
I just went to the doctor and he said that I have all the symptoms of PCOS, but I do not miss my period. And so that was really unsatisfying, because I was like, oh, okay, I have almost PCOS. I don't know.
Yeah.
You just started this podcast called The Period Feels, where you and your co-host talk about entrepreneurship and period health. And you're building this like next gen period lifestyle brand. And I wanted to know what you think that we can achieve with more period education.
I think that the biggest goal with period education is to further the movement towards full body acceptance, right? And I think that you do a lot of work around this too, where it's like, I think that, you know, we have historically seen a very strong period shame, which is,
the idea that we're convincing menstruators as a society to feel like there is something bad or sick or unnatural about their bodies, when in reality, their body is working and it's healthy and it's natural and it's powerful to even menstruate. And, you know, I know it doesn't resonate with everybody to embrace their period as a magical time of their month, but I think that for us, it's just about radical acceptance and even celebration of your body. And I think that when you encourage more conversation about periods, we get to that point of not only answering those questions of why is this happening in my body? What does it mean? You know, how do I make sure I don't have confusion or embarrassment about it? But I think that a lot of this work is in service of that goal of like radical body acceptance and celebration.
I've not thought of it like that. That's such an interesting way of thinking about it. And I think even just following you on your Instagram, maybe I have started to feel that my period is cooler. Like you have like had, you call it free bleeding. Can you tell us what free bleeding is? What is free bleeding?
Free bleeding is just like, oh, I'm, you know, I just don't have the energy to put on a pad or a tampon and I just kind of want to let it flow. So I'm just going to like free bleed into like, you know, a pair of black pants, or I'm just going to like walk around the house naked and free bleed because I just feel like I need my body to, you know, do its thing. And I mean, in many ways, like you're literally free bleeding into a pad, right? It just means like you're letting your body just kind of have it, gravity do its work.
I call it my like murder night, because around one night of my period, I always just like go through whatever I'm wearing and totally fuck up my sheets. And but that is not, is that a spillover?
You know, I think that all these terms are whatever you want it to mean. And, but yeah, I think that, I mean, I love that my content might be encouraging to people think that their period is cooler, because it is really fucking cool, right?
It
is cool and powerful. And I think that's a huge part of our work, is like trying to say that, you know, this narrative of your period being something that you should be ashamed of is outdated. And really, like, we should be looking at our period blood being like, wow, this is insane. Like, I'm walking around doing everything cis men are doing, but I'm bleeding out of my vagina and I have the potential to create life. And I'm like doing the damn thing. And like, how strong does that make me? Like, I have period cramps and I'm still going to school, building a company, doing my thing, feeling sexy, feeling hot. And, you know, I think that this idea of like body acceptance is actually something I draw a little bit of inspiration from, like the body neutrality movement, which is really around this idea of like, you know, rather than body negativity and body positivity, what if it's just about accepting and like, this is my body and this is who I am. And I think that there's a lot of those thoughts that I think really go hand in hand in accepting and celebrating our bodies for, you know, having these natural cycles that are honestly very powerful and make human life possible.
May I ask how old you are?
I am 24.
Okay, so do you think that Gen Z has a different view of their period than like elder millennials?
I would say that Generation Z is uniquely positioned to be able to fight stigmas and social constructs because of the world that we're living in, that gives us the tools to do a lot of this learning and questioning at our fingertips, right? I think social media is such a powerful tool because we're connecting with people who are nowhere in our geographic boundary, meaning that we're exposed to a lot more different ideas, right? And I think that a really strong example of this is around like trans identity, right? I think we are a generation that is questioning gender as a social construct. And historically, if I would look at the world and say, you know, I don't really know any trans people, now I'm exposed on social media to different communities who are nowhere near me. I'm able to learn about people's different experiences and really understand and normalize the idea that gender is a social construct. And I'm exposed to different ideas beyond my, you know, immediate community to question that. And I would say that when it comes to like stigmas around periods, right, like I'm showing my period blood on social media.
Yeah. And your tampon string. And like, I just, that is, I'm telling you, I think that it like makes me feel cooler about my period. It's crazy.
And for most people who see my content, like, you know, now I have 3 million followers on TikTok. For most of those people, I'm probably the first other person's period blood they've ever seen. And for many cis guys who follow me, I am the only period blood they've ever seen. And I think that there is a part of this where it's like, of course, social progress is moving. But I think that the fact that we have tools and pop culture streams to be exposed to visuals that people couldn't be exposed to 50 years ago, I think is really powerful, right? And I think that's why like we are seeing more movement in talking about mental health, in menstruation, in destigmatizing things, I think part of it is also like Generation Z is at a critical moment of being the generation that kind of is the last opportunity to really protect yes. our reproductive rights, to protect our planet, to protect, you know, our environment. And I think that there's more demand from us to take action in that way. Like, if we do not have an option to sit back and not talk about periods and, you know, our right to choose, because like, if we sit back and do nothing, it is our right to choose that is at stake, because Roe v. Wade would be overturned, right? Like,
yeah.
there are things where I think that our generation, we're politically at a time where we need to talk about these things, because if we don't, there's really irreversible damage that could be done.
I noticed that you say that you use the term menstruators instead of just saying women. Is that intentional? And can you talk about that more?
Yeah. So we use terms like menstruators, people who have periods. And at August Race, we say that we are built for anyone who menstruates. And that's all in an effort to be more gender inclusive about our language, right? So, I mean, I think historically this industry has been made for women. And I think to a fault, menstruation, even as like a bodily function, has been equated to womanhood, right? When you get your first period, a lot of what you hear is you're a woman now, you're a grown woman.
Yeah.
And biologically, getting your first period is when you can bear children. So a lot of the stigmas around periods are off this idea that when you get a period, you become a woman, which means that you enter the gender role of being a wife and mother, which is the sole purpose of being a woman, right? And I think that there are many ways that that is harmful. But one of the ways that it's harmful is that it excludes people who don't identify as women who do also get their periods, right? And at August, we really believe that gender and sex are totally different things, right? Your sex is the genitalia that you're born it with, the sex that you're assigned at birth, and your gender is really about your gender expression and what you choose to identify as. So even if someone has a uterus and even if someone is going to get a period, they're not going to have hormone intervention or, you know, any sort of, you know, surgical process that's going to change their physical being. They might identify as man, woman, non-binary. So for August, we really want to be inclusive of anybody who gets a period, regardless of if they identify as a trans man, as non-binary, and just be really open about our period conversation. So we use the term menstruators as to kind of be that gender inclusive term for someone who gets a period.
Do you hear from a lot of trans people or non-binary people who have felt left out and are grateful for your language?
I mean, yes, every day. I think that like over 10% actually of our community, which is our offline community on an app called Geneva called our Inner Cycle, is our people who are...
What is it? Sorry, what was that app called?
Geneva. It's like Slack for Gen Z. But we created this community that was really about, you know, creating a space where people could be in kind of constant conversation in a private home. And we have like almost 3,000 people in it. And we actually have a room called Gender Inclusivity. And in the last numbers, we pulled like over 10% of our community were non-cis menstruators. So people who get their periods but identify as trans or non-binary. And, you know, I think even as we were developing the product and our brand, we were working a lot with trans menstruators to try to understand how we could make, you know, this, you know, better product and brand for them. And it was everything from when we ship you the box, we're not going to have period and the word period all over the external box, because for a lot of people, it can be triggering to have that, you know, publicly, you know, sitting on your yeah. doorstep. So we're going to make it a little bit more discreet. So I think that there was a lot of thought that went into making sure that we were accommodating different audiences as we were developing the product to be as inclusive as possible.
Wow. I have some questions from Instagram that we ask people. And what I think is interesting is how some of the questions are like, whoa, you don't know that? Yeah. But I think you probably deal with that all the time. People who ask obvious things that you're like, this is how uneducated we are about our bodies. Here we go. Do we really sync cycles with people close to us?
We do not. There's no statistical evidence, you know, that can back up the fact. It's not a rumor. It's, I would say it's a myth. Like it's definitely, but here's the thing. In some ways there is, it is natural that you might sync up and be on a similar cycle to people around you, but not because I have some sort of energetic connection to you. It's more so that on average, people have a 28-day cycle. But average means that sometimes the cycle can be 24 days. Sometimes it can be 32 days, right? So I think that like the number of days in your cycle can change. So if I have a 24-day cycle and you have a 31-day cycle, that's different, you know, systems, meaning that at some point, statistically, we will line up, right? And so I think that it's more so that situation. Also, like I am personally have a long period. Usually I'm menstruating for like 9 days, which is like a long portion of the time. So I might be on day nine of my period. You might be on day one. And so I think that like, because of that, people will say, oh, if I look around, like, and I also think it's like, it's kind of the beauty of periods, right? If I could be in a room of all menstruators. If I say who's on their period right now, maybe half of them would raise their hand, right? So inherently, I think that there is this idea of, oh my gosh, it's so crazy that we're synced up. When in reality, this is just such a big part of our months that of course, at some point we're going to be, you know, synced up, but it's not because I'm infusing my energy, getting you on the same period as me. I think a lot of it is, you know, in a different way. I'm not going to rule it out, but I'll say that in the research that's been done until today, there is not enough statistical evidence to say that we sync up in that way.
It's so funny. I definitely thought that was real. That's funny. Are periods supposed to be painful?
I wouldn't say that periods are supposed to be painful. I think that it would be, it's very natural for there to be period cramps, right? In your ovulating phase and when you have your period, your body's producing a chemical called prostaglandins, which causes cramps. And cramps have a very logical function. It's literally the muscles around your uterus contracting to help push out the endometrium.
Wow.
So not supposed to, but natural to feel cramps. That being said, you're not supposed to be in so much pain that you are keeling over from the pain, not able to get out of bed. So if you do have that sort of pain, talk to your doctor. Ask about things like endometriosis or uterine fibroids.
How do you feel about someone taking continuous birth control and not having a period? Is that bad?
I wouldn't even say it's good or bad. I think that the most important thing, if you choose to take hormonal birth control, is to understand the consequences of it, right? Taking birth control does not mean that you're still getting a period even if you have blood, right? That is a breakthrough bleed. That's not an official period. I think that far too often, and you know, I was on birth control for years, people get on hormonal birth control without really understanding the consequences of it or what it could do to their body. So I think that there's no good or bad. I think it's just a matter of making sure that you have the information to make an informed decision.
Can you tell us some of the things that may happen with hormonal birth control, which is why I never also took hormonal birth control?
I mean, I think that this is part of what we are trying to do at Period is really like educate people on what a period is, right? And like having a period is a very natural thing, right? And a lot of reasons why someone might take hormonal birth control is to control other things happening in their body, not just their period, right? It might be for their skin, for their cramps. And I think that the most important thing is to think of hormonal birth control as more of like a last resort than like the first thing you jump to, right? If you're having cramps, talk to your doctor about endometriosis or, you know, PCOS or these other things. Think about heating packs or different routines, natural ways to be able to alleviate those symptoms rather than being like, you know what, I'm just going to go on hormonal birth control. Because taking hormones that will alter your natural hormonal cycle is a big decision. And I think that that is just something to really keep in mind.
So one of the things that I grew up doing and still see women doing all the time is they take a tampon, they hide it in their hand, and then you walk to the bathroom. I have now gotten to the point where I just like hold it like a baton and like walk to the bathroom. This is a question from Instagram. How do I get over the idea that period and period products are inherently gross? Thanks, Dad.
Oh my gosh, I love this question. And actually, this is a question we get a lot. At August, on one of our tampon boxes, actually, it says, like, gone are the days of hiding tampons up your sleeve. And I think that, like, even that idea is, like, really representative of how present period shame is, right? Like, when I will give speeches, I'll often ask, like, raise your hand if you've ever hid your tampon up your sleeve, and the majority of hands will go up. And I think that it's kind of a sad, really sad thing, which is, nobody ever told any of us, hey, this little wad of cotton is such a source of shame. You must do everything to hide it. Hide it up your sleeve. Bring your whole backpack to the bathroom. And I think that's really, it exemplifies like how much period shame is present in our society. And I think that a big part of it is surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded and who are open to having that conversation, right? Like a lot of people feel alone in having their periods, but what they don't realize is if I turn to the person next to me who was assigned female at birth, they probably get a period, right? And like, yeah, to be able to actually just start at the bare minimum having conversations. It can be anything. You don't have to go out there waving your tampon up in the air like I do or showing your period blood on TikTok, but it can be turning to the person next to me. And the next time I say, hey, do you have a tampon? I'm not whispering the word tampon. If I say, hey, I'm on my period, I'm saying the word period. I'm not using a euphemism like it's that time of the month or something like that. But just being more open up with it day by day. And I think that's a really important, you know, small steps to take.
Yeah. Can you walk us through what is in your line, August?
So at August, we make 3 sizes of tampons and 3 sizes of pads. It's basically more sustainable versions of what a lot of people know. So like most pads take 500 to 800 years to decompose. Our pads are fully biodegradable within 12 months. Most pads have enough plastic. Yeah. Most pads have enough plastic for 3 to 5 plastic bags. Our pads are plastic free. So they're more leak proof. They're more absorbent. They're softer, more sustainable. And then on top of that, as a company, we're really committed to traceability, transparency, ethics, carbon neutrality, inclusivity. But from a product perspective, 3 sizes of tampons, 3 sizes of pads, more sustainable, better versions of the products that are already out there.
I also saw that you composted one of the wrappers from like the lining of your pad. And I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, the pad wrappers, we recently made a product update. So they're also compostable and you can put them in your at-home compost. And what's really visual and exciting about it is when you put it in hot water, it will like immediately melt. And so a lot of people on TikTok have been like showing, like taking the pad wrappers off, putting it in hot water and seeing it like immediately melt.
Wow. Where are you sold?
So we're all online. Like, I think that people see who we are online and they're like, oh my God, this is a huge company. Nah, dude, we're less than a year out in the world. We're all online. We just like are raising up our second round of funding, hoping that we can keep growing. But we're fully direct to consumer right now, slowly making our way into like smaller wholesale opportunities. But hopefully we'll be in every drugstore, you know, several years from now. But I think that's still a long ways out. So we're all online at itsaugust.co right now.
This is another question from Instagram. No one talks about how tampon, when I say Instagram, are you like, that's old?
No.
Is Instagram for old people?
Instagram is not for old people, but I will say that like, I think that it just serves a different purpose, right? Like I think of Instagram more as like a TikTok wannabe now because of like how much they're investing into reels.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got TikTok verified and I was really excited to come into the future.
Yes.
I only have like 1 follower though. But anyway, no one talks about how tampons expand, different brands, different expansion, different vaginas. How do I find a product that's right for me? Is that even a true question? Tampons?
Yes. So this was actually a huge part of designing August. Most tampons out there expand like a cylinder. And so you'll see like they'll expand like a cylinder, but it's a complete myth that your vagina is a hollow cylinder. It is not. It's more like a tight sleeping bag where it's, you know, can kind of move around, but it's not a cylinder. And so when we created August, the tampon actually opens up axially, kind of like, you know, a V shape. And so it'll only really expand if it's filling up with period blood, which makes it a lot easier to take out. And depending on your cycle, it'll really meet like the shape of your vagina. So it's more absorbent, it's more comfortable, and it fits the natural shape of your vagina rather than putting more pressure on all angles of your vagina when it doesn't need that.
And do you have giant heavy flow overnight pads in your collection yet?
So right now we have our liners and then our day pads and our night pads. Our night pads actually look really thin, but they're much more absorbent than most night pads out there. And it's because we use a layer of a super absorbent polymer. And so it's still more sustainable, but also it locks in the liquid. So we've done a lot of tests that you can see like on TikTok or on YouTube where like we'll fill it up with the same amount of liquids and squeeze out a generic pad versus an August pad. The generic pad will like immediately squirt out all the liquid versus the August pad really keeps all of the liquid in.
Oh, I want to try this at home. I have 2 final questions. It's around period and politics. Why are period products and feminine products in general taxed? Is that still a thing? The pink tax?
Yes. So it's actually not the pink tax. So the quote unquote pink tax actually, the pink tax refers to like the overall phenomenon that things that are pink are usually more expensive, right? Like a razor that's pink is branded as something for women, but it's the same razor. It's just pink. And so they cost more. The tampon tax is actually an actual, like it's actual legislation. So the tampon tax still exists in 27 states. When I started my organization when I was 16, it was in 40. So we've made progress, but we still have it in the majority of U.S. states. So in 27 states in the U.S., there's what we call the tampon tax, which is a sales tax on period products, considering them non-essential goods. So literally, because these products are not considered necessities, they have the sales tax applied to them. The reason this is so infuriating is that most other products like Rogaine and Viagra, old man hair growth and erections, are considered medical necessities and don't have that tax.
No.
Yeah. So
this it's like, is if still, I knew this, I forgot and I'm mad all over again.
Yes. So this is absolutely still a thing. And the U.S. is very far behind in taking it down. You know, in the last few years, we've seen India nationally take it down, Australia nationally take it down, the U.K. make extreme progress on using all that revenue to address period poverty. The U.S. is far behind in this, and it still exists in the majority of U.S. states.
Wow.
We are making progress, but we're still a long ways from achieving getting rid of the tampon tax.
Now, you just mentioned period poverty. That's what my final question is. What is period poverty?
Period poverty is not being able to afford access to period products. So, you know, I think just as anyone would struggle to afford food, shelter, clothes, basic necessities, that what also goes into that is access to period products, right? We all know as menstruators how hard it is to get your period. Now imagine if you didn't have access to tampons and pads, didn't have access to unlimited clean underwear or a shower or a clean bathroom. So period poverty goes hand in hand with poverty and not being able to afford basic necessities.
And that I have read recently that causes people to not go to school. Truancy, is that the right word? Rates go up.
Well, I think globally, period poverty or period pain is a leading cause of absenteeism for girls. And I mean, a lot of that is anything from I am nervous to bleed through my clothes, you know, in the class, or, you know, there are no period products in the public, in the restrooms at schools. So what am I going to do if I need a period product, right? So I think it also goes into period pain not being addressed and things like that.
Nadia, thank you so much for chatting with me.
Of course. I'm so excited for this episode to come out, and we'll definitely get you a lot more followers on TikTok. So we'll be sure to promote the whole thing out there.
Thank you.
Of course. Of course.
That's it for this episode of Boob Sweat. I want to thank Nadia for coming on. You can find her on Instagram at Nadia Okamoto, at It's August, at Period Movement, and on her podcast, The Period Feels and Tigress. Be sure to check out the show notes of this episode for ways to support organizations working to end period poverty. Have a question or comment? Call our hotline. Please call our hotline. I'm begging you. I want voicemails, more of them, please. 201-701-1575. 201-701-1575. And you could be featured on the pod, or email us at boobsweatproductions@gmail.com. If you like the show, please rate and review wherever you listen, because that shit is important. Here is a recent review. Awesome podcast, 5 stars. I have really enjoyed listening to Katie's podcast. I really appreciate her take on body positivity, and it's awesome to hear from such a successful female business founder. Thank you. And remember to follow the podcast on your podcast app of choice so you never miss an episode. If you can't get enough of me on your phone and in your ears, then you should check out my book, Body Talk, which is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and anywhere good books are sold. This show is produced by Wonder Wheel Media and Madison Higley.
Hi.
And thank you to Cheese and John, who burped almost into my microphone, if you're still listening to this, who also seems to make noise when we record the show. You can follow me at Katie Strino on Instagram to keep the conversation going. This podcast is over.
Should we add your TikTok to the outro, or is that?
Oh, no. My TikTok is shameful.